It's been said that among Presbyterians, the Holy Spirit is the most neglected person of the Trinity. So today and next week, we'll take some time to focus on the Holy Spirit. And if and when Antioch should join the EPC, you'll probably hear a lot about an organization that I've been a member of for about 5 years, called PRMI, Presbyterian Reformed Ministries International, which I learned about years ago from my friend evangelism coach Chris Walker, and then one of the interim pastors at my first church. His brother is involved in PRMI. In fact, with coach with Chris Walker, they teach classes down in Nicaragua a lot and other parts of South America. So it's an organization that teaches about the person and work of the Holy Spirit from a Reformed perspective and equips believers to live in and by the Holy Spirit's power. Their headquarters are in Black Mountain, North Carolina. So some of the points that I make today and next Sunday come from their teaching from their course called the Dunamis Project, and in particular their first course, which is called Gateways to Empowered Ministry. So on Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit by Jesus. The Holy Spirit has always been at work both upon and within God's people in the Old Testament, and Jesus himself, as he became a human, he emptied himself and was filled by the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit came down on him at baptism, and he operated out of the Holy Spirit. And then when he was in the upper room and appeared in the upper room after the resurrection, he breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples in that. But this filling of the Holy Spirit, this coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was something different. In this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church was born. The Spirit came to take up permanent residence in believers. And the Spirit came to apply and fulfill that work of salvation that Jesus accomplished through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. So today we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit's gifts and work within us. And next week we'll look at the gifts and the Holy Spirit's work upon us. And both terms are used in the scriptures and in the New Testament. And they have a little bit different purposes and functions. But before we do that, we first need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it and not a force. The Holy Spirit is referred to in Scripture in feminine language, in masculine language, and in neuter language. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit. The Spirit transcends gender, but that in and of itself does not make the Spirit an it. The Spirit, for example, can be grieved, which is only something that a person can experience. The Spirit loves, which is something that a person experiences. The Spirit has a will. The Spirit is given such titles as helper, counselor, teacher, all list of titles that persons have, not forces or its. Though the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and sent by the Son, the Spirit is no less God than they are. The baptismal formula that Jesus gives is in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three persons, we see if we read Genesis 1, just the first couple of verses, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all active in creation, taking part in it, doing things. If we read, for example, Romans chapter 8, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three having active work and accomplishing our salvation and redemption. And we affirm in the creeds the personhood and co-equality and co-eternality of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit performs four basic, though crucial, works in us. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The works in us are justification, sanctification, empowerment, and kinship with other believers. So the first work of the Holy Spirit in us is justification. And remember, justification means being declared righteous. Or as I learned when I was a kid, it's like, just as if I never sinned. So we are declared righteous by God. The scripture tells us that. We know that we're justified by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order to be justified, that is to be saved, that he had to be born again. And Nicodemus, he kind of wonders, what does that mean? I can't get inside my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus says, no, you're born by water and by the Spirit. And so Jesus goes on to explain what it means to be born again by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us faith to believe in Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who begins that work of conversion in us, that before we're ever aware, the Holy Spirit is already at work in our lives. And this is what one of the things we symbolize in baptism, that we acknowledge the calling and the power of God over our lives before we are ever conscious of it. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So the Holy Spirit begins that work of salvation in us. Jesus did it. The Holy Spirit helps us to accept it and receive it. The next work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification. And sanctification is to be made holy. And this is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that as we live in Christ and grow in Christ, we become more and more Christ-like. And that's the Holy Spirit making us more like Jesus. Because the Spirit is in us, we now have the power not to sin. The Apostle Paul talks about us putting off the old and putting on the new, or putting to death the old man and living by the Spirit. And the evidence of the Spirit at work in our lives is transformed character. Paul says we're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. That it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to love difficult people, to love our enemies, because we know that that kind of love does not come from us. That we can't just will it up to love somebody that's really aggravating us or hurting us or we don't like them. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when the Holy Spirit is in us, we can love difficult people. We can love our enemies. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to obey the commands of God. Another part of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is the conviction of our sin. That we realize when we've done something that offends God, and then we desire to repent and we want to turn back to God and seek forgiveness. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Another work of the Holy Spirit in us is empowerment for service and witness. And this too is an ongoing work. Jesus talked a lot to his disciples about the Holy Spirit before he died in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And then he prayed about for us in chapter 17. So Jesus talked a lot about the Spirit, and he told his disciples that they would do greater works than he through the power of the Holy Spirit. He told them that the Spirit would lead them into all truth, because it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand and apply the Scriptures. In other places recorded in the Gospels, as well as in those chapters, Jesus tells the disciples that they don't need to worry about what they're going to say if they're arrested or taken before judges or put in prison or persecuted, because the Holy Spirit's going to give them the right words to say at the right times. And that is true today. I don't know if you have been following at all the case of Andrew Brunson, who has been in prison in Turkey for 2 years, almost 2 years now. I am thankful, actually, to Senator Tom Tillis for bringing this into the light. I've known about it pretty much since Pastor Brunson was arrested. But now it's becoming more known as Pastor Brunson has been on trial. And at his trials, Pastor Brunson has been able to be faithful to Jesus as he's questioned for hours and hours to proclaim the gospel. And that's something that only the Holy Spirit can do. Because he's obedient to the Spirit is giving him the words to say. And he has been put back in prison and is waiting his next chance to go before the Tribune in Turkey sometime in mid-June. So if you know that story at all about him, keep him in prayer. And there's also another North Carolina pastor in prison in China, just sentenced to several years of hard labor there. So two North Carolina pastors in prison in different countries who are striving to live in the Holy Spirit's power in the face of intense persecution. So the Holy Spirit's going to give us the words to say when we need them. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit gives peace and joy in those same kinds of challenging circumstances. Jesus told his disciples here and in other scriptures, also, we're not supposed to worry about what we are going to say when the Holy Spirit's prompting us to share the gospel. Now, I know a lot of times we'll get that, I think I should say something kind of feeling, and that's coming from the Holy Spirit. But too often we keep our mouth shut and we don't say anything. And then we get home and like, ugh, why did I do that? I know I should have said something that that person needed to hear. But if we trust and we think, well, I don't know enough. What if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? But if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say that will mean something to that person that God can use. All we have to do is be obedient. It's our job to witness to the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's job to apply the gospel to that other person's heart. We just have to be faithful to what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. And the Holy Spirit also enables us to pray rightly in agreement with the Father. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, according to Romans chapter 8, when we don't know how to pray. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us wisdom and discernment. And another part of this empowerment of the Holy Spirit for witness and service is that the Holy Spirit comes upon us with gifts of grace, which next Sunday we'll look at more deeply. The fourth work of the Holy Spirit is a work within us is kinship. And it's kinship with God and kinship with other believers. So first, it is the Holy Spirit that makes us family with God. Jesus said, again, in these chapters in John 14, 15, 16, you might want to spend some time reading those over the next few weeks or so. It doesn't take very long to read three chapters. Jesus said there that he and the Father are going to make their home in us. And Jesus does that through the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, don't worry, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Spirit, and my Father and I will make our home in you. And that is how that happens. So Jesus opened the way for us to become members of God's family through atoning for our sin on the cross and by giving us eternal life. And the Holy Spirit furthers our communion with God and makes us one with Christ. The Holy Spirit is that answer to Jesus' promise that he was never going to leave us nor forsake us and that he will be with us always. The Greek word for our kinship with other believers is koinonia, which is most often translated fellowship. But sometimes when we think of fellowship, what comes to mind is stuff like potluck suppers and things like that, which is a great way to fellowship, but it's more than that. Fellowship is much stronger. It's that feeling that you get whenever you meet somebody for the very first time and you just feel some kind of connection with them and you start talking with them and then you find out that they're a fellow believer and it feels like you've known them for years. How many of you have had that experience before? Yeah, I mean, you meet them for the very, and then you just are connected. And if that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that drawing us together with other believers and making us have that common connection, that we're like, I feel like I know you. And then you do because you've got the Spirit in common. The Spirit is who unifies us in one mind and in one purpose. As we discern, for example, the mission of this church. The Holy Spirit's very involved in that. We did a process, but we trust the Spirit to work through that process to bring us to unity of one mind and one purpose as we pray and say, Lord, what is your will and your desire for this body, this group of believers? It's the Holy Spirit who tears down the false divisions that we tend to make between people, divisions such as race and social status. The Holy Spirit says, none of that matters. It's not important. It doesn't even exist in God's kingdom. And you can love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You are family. The Holy Spirit transcends language barriers, like in our gospel reading today. Or as my dear sweet sister Mitsuko-san told me when I went to my first church assignment in Date, Japan, her first words to me were, we may not be able to communicate face to face, but we can communicate heart to heart. And of course, she said it in Japanese, and I understood it immediately. And it was always true. Mitsuko-san and I always could understand each other through my Japanglish and her her Japanese and her Japanglish, because she knew some English too. But she would translate her husband, Igarashi Sensei's, very difficult, hard to understand Japanese into simple Japanese that I could understand. She'd use the smaller sentence structure so I could understand. And we got along beautifully. And she was so patient with me as I tried to learn Japanese. And she always encouraged me to read. And I'm sounding out words letter by letter. And then I'm like, oh, I know what that word is. And I'd get so excited. But she was just so sweet like that. So it was true. We communicated heart to heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that allows us to speak to each other's heart. The Holy Spirit gives us family. When our own families turn us away, when we have difficult families of origin and they fail us for whatever reason, be it reasons of differences in faith or whatever kinds of reasons, it's the Holy Spirit who gives us a new family. The family of the church, the family of other believers. And the Holy Spirit gives us love for our fellow believers and shows us that we have things in common, makes us want to give and help and share. At the end of Acts chapter 2, we see the believers, the new church believers, having things in common, sharing meals with each other, going to each other's houses, praying together. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that what we have is something eternal and important. The Spirit makes us want to help one another. And the Spirit brings together the church, making it a body of which Christ is the head. The Spirit speaks to and through gathered believers so that they can discern the next steps where God is leading. The Holy Spirit's work within us, all of these gifts of grace, change us forever. And we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us if we belong to Jesus. This doesn't mean that we always obey the Spirit or that we always operate in the Spirit, because we know that often our sinful nature takes over and we cause the Holy Spirit to grieve. But when we yield ourselves to the Spirit's control, then we become everything that God intended us to be. May we be those who yield to the Holy Spirit and bear the lasting fruit of Christ-like character. May people recognize that there's something different about us because we belong to Jesus. May the Spirit lead us deeper and deeper into God's truth as we spend time in God's Word and seek to understand it. We pray into it and allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives and give us understanding and wisdom. And may this church be characterized by love and unity, giving evidence of the Spirit's presence to all who will pass through its doors. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our lives. Thank you for the work that you do in us, drawing us to Jesus before we were ever aware of him. making us more and more like Jesus, making us into a family of faith, and empowering us for service and witness. Lord, as you call us into service and witness, may we not grieve the Holy Spirit, but obey, knowing that you give courage just like you gave to Peter, you'll give to us, that you'll give words to us just like you gave to Peter, in whatever circumstance that which we may find ourselves in. Lord, we are thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us, and we give you praise. Amen.